What? Wait, what?
There it is.
Hey, hey, it's corporate lunch o'clock. We've got a special guest today, ain't that right, Noah?
Yeah, a lot of some might say this is one is a long time coming.
Yeah.
Some people have been saying that, long time coming.
It was like it was already done, so we didn't know to actually do it. But now here we are making
sometimes
it happen.
Sometimes the most obvious thing is the one you arrive at.
Peasky Weasky.
After 35 episodes.
Ewski Woski. Josh Petskowitz is in.
What's up, fellas?
The corporate tower.
All the way from the West Coast.
Yeah. All the way from the West
Coast.
All the way
from,
you might say from the West Coast, but to me, this guy's in Europe. All the way from Europe. Josh Petskowitz.
I'm all the way from the Delta Lounge. That's pretty much where I feel like I live sometimes.
Straight coming straight to you from the Delta One Center. Josh Petskowitz. Josh, I want to actually start with a little bit of like, it's not an act for you and I, it's not a throwback question. It's like a middle, it's like a mid throwback question.
Sure.
What was it like becoming like one of the favorite targets of the street style?
Oh, man.
The street style explosion. No, seriously, it was like that was a huge moment in menswear and in fashion, and you with a couple others like Mr. Wooster, Mr. Tong were really like out there.
It was weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not that dude, you know? Like, I mean, well, you know me long enough, but it's you know, I think it's cool in like retrospect looking at it now, I think it's cool that they're like when I was coming up and, you know, when I first started out doing magazines and, you know, wanting to be part of this world, like I knew people's names.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what they looked like.
Right.
And so I would just be like
bylines, fashion editors, stylists.
Exactly. And, you know, you'd be at some party and then, you know, this person standing next to you is just like, I fucking idolized you.
They're like, oh, the, you're
on,
you?
Are we allowed to curse on the pod? Is cursing allowed?
Yeah. Okay. It's the internet, dude.
All right.
You can get naked. You can do whatever you want.
Word up. So, you know, I'd be standing next to this person and be like, you're a fucking living legend. And I wouldn't have known. And I think it's cool that, you know, people who like are regular looking people and aren't models or actors or, you know, beautiful musicians or something, like people in the world got to see what like regular people look like when they kind of wear weird clothes.
Right.
Yeah. Turn up and turn out.
Which
that's
I think
a really
just
good point. I never thought of it that way, but the idea of like putting a face to the names and to the characters behind the scenes, like that's pretty
it was
valuable
kind of like a,
and sort of unique in a way.
Yeah.
It was kind
I mean,
of a coming out party for the industry in a way.
It was.
But,
I mean,
but those people in the industry who were like not just influential but actually stylish and good looking themselves.
You know, the thing about it back then was it was like the people that were being, you know, photographed the most, and whether it was Scott when he first started doing the Sartorialist and then or started working with us at style.com at that time, or obviously Tommy Tan or any of these people who the first wave were taking pictures of people who were doing things.
By you know, doing like, things, you mean
like we're actually
jobs.
We're like actually working and we're doing interesting things.
Right.
And, you know, it has evolved since then into sort of its own profession, which is
you mean,
weird.
You mean being someone who gets photographed is itself a job in 2000? Well, for the last 5 years.
For sure. Yeah. And, you know, like that first wave, whatever, like we were all, you know, like we weren't standing there trying to get our pictures taken.
Yeah. Right.
We were like late. We were running.
Like rolling into shows.
Yeah. And so, that's the difference, I think. But, you know, I've never been, like, I never thought of myself as, like, a front-of-house dude. Like, I always, you know, things happen in your life. But I was
over the stove, sweating and cooking up.
Yeah, man, I'm over here.
Not
I'm
a maitre d'.
Yo, I'm a line cook. Line cook at best.
I'm a dishwasher.
So you were at style.com at the time when that was beginning.
Yeah.
You guys had hired Scott. Basically, that was his
Scott Schumann, the Sartorialist.
That's right. So that was his first job, basically, like that? Like regular gig?
Yeah. I mean, I think he had, like, contributed a little bit to GQ prior to that. Like, maybe done, like, a page or something in the book.
Yeah, he had a column. Yeah.
And
a page every month.
I think it was maybe, it might have been, like, his second season working for Style.com when I started traveling to the shows with him. And so, like, I went to Pity for the first time with Scott Schumann.
Right.
Yeah, that was my first time going. That was, like, 2007?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Huh.
Yeah.
The day. Now, I mean, one thing that I think is interesting and kind of fun and funny about it, but also like probably a like mental challenge for you, is that it was like a weird thing for you to be a front of house dude all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, nobody was hurting anybody. It was all positive, right?
Yeah.
So in a way, you're having to get your head around, like, getting love that you never asked for, but that was actually just love.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I think...
It's like a challenge to one's self-conception to be, like, heavily photographed when you weren't trying to, but there was no, like...
Yeah,
nobody was hurting anybody.
What I think
they were just doing it
because
they thought you were cool.
What I think you're trying to say is that most people who like are have notoriety attempted to have it.
Yeah, they were like set like I'm gonna be a famous actor. Watch.
Yeah,
you were literally just doing your job, and all of a sudden you were like internet famous.
Which is that?
You
really,
were like
is that real famous?
You were
think
like
so.
Subculture famous.
I was definitely niche famous.
But now there's only niche fame. So yeah. That's to me it's the same as famous.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean,
let me ask you this, and you can handle this question however you want. Were there like checks associated with it that were life changing?
No. Yeah,
because you didn't make those decisions, right? Yeah. There must have been forks in the road where you were like, I could just hold the line here, or I could like turn this into some money.
Well, I mean, you know,
is that too personal?
It's not too personal. Okay. I have a really hard time. Not being myself. So if somebody wanted to give me a check to not be myself,
yeah,
no, I can't do that.
Yeah,
I just can't do that.
Right, not gonna
so,
happen.
I mean, I have. Are there other people I know that have found, you know, whatever this that kind of notoriety, and I would argue have much more of it than I do. Have found it to be lucrative. Yes.
Yeah, but they were like down for that.
Yeah,
they were ready for that decision.
Well, I mean, I also was never really in a position. Like, as you said, I would have had to make a decision.
Yeah.
Like, I'm no longer going to do my job, and I'm going to do that
right
instead.
Full-time influencer.
Yeah.
Nope.
Today on the podcast, we have part-time influencer Josh Peskowitz.
Quasi-influencer.
So street-style notoriety aside, let's back up a little bit. You are the co-owner, co-founder, co-partner in Magasin.
Mm-hmm.
Did I pronounce it right?
Yeah.
Did I freak it right?
You flipped it. You flipped it.
It's a men's store in Culver City. I'm a patron. It's dope. It was a long and varied road there to owning a retail store.
Absolutely.
You worked in magazines. Mm-hmm. You worked in fashion websites.
Mm-hmm.
You worked in retail via department stores.
Mm-hmm.
And then landed there.
Mm-hmm.
For starters, how would you describe the mission of Magasin?
The mission of Magasin is to
No, I didn't freak it right. Magasin.
Correct. There was a slight correction on the.
He was like, he's going to get the real one in a minute, so I might as well make him feel good for now. Magasin.
I'll just get there.
People in LA must not go through all that, pronouncing
people,
all that shit.
Well, the truth of it is that half the people who come into the store call it Magasin, and I'm fine with that.
You call
as long
whatever
as they
you
come
want.
In.
Yeah. Well, yeah, hey, as long as they come in. But no, I mean, that's. To a certain level intentional because, you know, in French, the word magasin means store, but the word magazine means magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things that we have tried to do at the store is to put together a point of view that would be publishable.
Right.
You know, one of the things that I've always loved about what you guys do and what, you know, I used to do was the fact that you could take other people's things that they created and make something else out of it.
Right.
You know, and so like if you saw certain pieces from a show that you felt made sense with another show and you had a vibe that you wanted to put a photo shoot around together, like you made that. And that was always something that interested me as someone who didn't really view myself as creative enough to make my own shit, but like to just take other people's and interpret it in a different way. And so when you look at what we've tried to do at Magasin, we stand behind some principles and you know, we built the store around those. And, you know, one of the things that we try to do is give, you know, a spotlight and shine to, you know, lesser known brands, lesser known makers. You know, I really think that the majority of the people that we work with in the store are people that make, you know, and that craftsmanship element of it, you know, it's a litmus test, I guess, in my mind. It's just like, it needs to exhibit one of three qualities. And if it exhibits two of them, you're in for sure. And if you're three, I'm putting you on the billboard, you know,
it's
craftsmanship, it's innovation, and it's rarity. We don't want anybody in the store that doesn't take pride in what they make. The things that we sell in the store are not inexpensive by any means, but for the most part, what you're paying for is parts and labor. You're not paying for, you know, of corporate marketing budget or a cruise show in Cannes, you know, and that's
all due respect to cruise shows in Cannes.
And like, invite me, I will go.
Josh will roll in and get his photo taken.
Yo,
catch some vitamin D.
Yeah, I'll be over here in Cannes if you need me. I'll be at the Delta One Lounge. Just come holler at me. Anyway,
I have a personal example of what Magasin is all about.
Nice one.
Baby got his first Dries Van Noten.
That's right. It was the black and white silk scenario.
Hey, you see that?
That was good looking.
Baby's first Dries happened in Culver City, California.
Wait, what was the
under
piece?
The watchful eye of Josh Peskowitz?
A silk shirt.
Silk shirt.
Yeah, it was a silk black and white with like these like it had like griffins, like hand painted little like griffins. And
no,
other.
It was like a like it's, artist it was, pattern. It looks
there
like
there were squiggles,
Joseph,
but then like if you go back and look at it again, Joseph there's like a couple of, like there's a couple of like little creatures in there too.
It looks like
go,
really
go
yeah,
back
there's
and
some
look
creatures.
Again.
There are creatures I don't even know about on my own shirt.
Secret creatures.
It looked a little bit like a Joseph Baez or Joseph Baez
mm-hmm.
or Richard Serra line drawing. X Dries silk shirt. Baby's first Dries, big deal. I grew up in that moment. I felt very fashion in that moment.
Dries is one of those in what was up until very, very, very recently. Independent designers, but that does something at sort of a large scale that feels very much like in line with where you're at.
He's the biggest name that we have in the store.
Let's run some more designers just for people to get an idea of what's in there. Dries,
Missoni,
Massimo Alba,
Blue Japan, as I mentioned, Engineered Garments, Needles. We sell jackets from...
Noah just left.
I'm on my way.
we sell jackets from... you've been there to Hermano's store, Errol 55.
Errol 55.
Yeah, yeah.
I just ordered up a new suit. Shout out Simon Golby.
Shout out Simon Golby. Big shout out Simon Golby. And shout out to Hermano.
Hermano himself.
So for people not familiar, Hermano has a store in Milan on Corso Como, which is called Errol 55. And he is a G in the vintage world of Italy.
Dude, they have these dead stock fabrics from like the 20s and stuff where they have two rolls.
Yeah.
And you're flipping through the fabric book like to get a custom suit made. And I'm tall, so I'll be like, I like that one. And he's like,
I ain't got enough meters for you.
There's not enough of that 1920s hemp for you.
Yeah.
Like your little cousin could get a suit, but you cannot.
Simon was wearing a jacket made out of a curtain from 1893.
Dude, come on.
I swear to you.
It's like,
I swear to
you. If that isn't awesome to you, I really can't help you. Maybe Corporate Lunch and GQ Style and Magasin are not for you.
Maybe not. And that's the other thing. I mean, just going back to it, is the nice thing about having a small store is that it doesn't have to be for everyone.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and
people walk in, they walk out, and you're like, you know what?
I mean, I hope everybody who comes in sees something that they find inspiring, if not something that they want to walk out the store with. And, you know, but at the same time, like, I recognize that, you know, as you just said, you know, the only thing that exists anymore is niche fame, right? So it's like, you don't have to be everything to everyone.
No.
And that is...
nobody wants that, actually.
Nobody wants that.
So with that in mind, how long have you been open now?
2.5 years.
And how do you see your opening and this business currently existing with, like, the state of men's style more broadly?
Well, I think that, I mean, for me, the moment that we live in, I mean, just in general, which has been influenced by social media and, you know, access to information, I think it's great. I mean, you know, listen, men are probably more educated about, you know, their clothing than they have been since like the 20s or whatever.
Yeah.
Like when they've like had one tailor who made
more every day and it's not slowing down.
Yeah. And you know, the reason is that people can find out for themselves. They don't have to ask. They don't have to act like they didn't already know it, you know, and like ask questions, which a lot of men hate asking questions and thinking that they didn't know something already. So the access to information is there, and people are on the web and they're finding out, and they are, you know, self-radicalizing, I guess. And that's great. But the other thing that has happened is that the traditional kind of system of like trend has completely broken down. And to me, that is a symptom of social media again, where images are sort of decoupled from meaning. And so, you know, there was a time that if you dressed in a certain way, it meant this about you.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, like, you were a punk, you looked like this. You were, you know, a Republican, you know, fundraiser, you looked like this. You were a goth kid, you looked like this. That doesn't exist anymore because people are influenced by so many things all at once. It's just, like, such an inundation. And what ends up happening is that, like, the trend system has, I think, broken down. It's good and it's bad. But the good part of it is that, you know, since everything that's ever been in style ever is all in style now, you can kind of decide who you want to be right. and take what you want from it. And that, I think that's cool, but it takes a certain amount of education and it definitely takes a certain amount of self-confidence to do that.
You can definitely wait. God knows the streets have proven you can wake up in the morning and put on a Grateful Dead shirt, regardless of whether or not you've ever listened to any Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
Same goes for Metallica, yeah. Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
You know?
And that used to be like you would not
you would
wear
get smacked
that.
For that.
Yeah.
Now it's all good.
It's all good.
Yeah.
You know, shouts to Thrasher magazine.
Yeah. Shout out to Thrasher magazine.
Shout out to Jake Phelps. I think that, and the other thing is just the willingness to like take more risks. Most of the designers I've talked to in like the last 6 months have told me that they think men are taking more risks with what they wear than women, which is maybe
speaking of Dries, that's what Dries yeah. told Noah in his labels GQ style labels on Fire piece, right?
Yeah,
he was like, menswear is more interesting and risky than women's wear right yeah. now.
And when I was in Paris for 2 days earlier this month or last month, I heard a bunch of people say sort of the same thing. Yeah. And I feel it myself. Like, I think even going back to street style, like the last several years of it, there's certainly a point where you're just like, I've seen a whole bunch of other people dress like this or dress crazier than me.
Yeah.
So I'll wear this thing.
Yeah.
You just start to get like
desensitized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a weird thing, I guess. But I think it's cool. I think it's positive.
Well, it moves, right? Like yeah. the standard, like, you know, the standard deviations, you know, like you start here.
Right.
And then like most people will say, okay, well, this is who I am. And then they'll see something that's like one standard deviation away from what they are wearing now and say like, I get that.
Yeah.
But now you've moved one.
Yeah.
You know? And so the next time you see something, you're like, yo, I fuck with that. And I get that. It's this much further away from where you started. Right. And so, you know, it's a journey.
I haven't quite thought about that, but I have literally had that thought while getting dressed. I was like, oh man, I don't know if I could pull this off. And then I was like, wait a second. There's actually a 70% chance that the dude sitting next to me is being doing something wilder than this. So yeah. Fuck it. I'm just going to go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and the other thing is like, yo, if you're not having fun with your clothes and like how you represent yourself to the world, like,
yeah.
then you're, I mean, you need to go talk to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you need to straighten that out.
You're passing on an opportunity.
Yeah. You're passing on opportunity. And like self-expression is not something that a lot of people get the opportunity to do in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know, because like, I mean, white people be acting out on Twitter, you know, it's like it's the first time anybody ever listened to them. They're like, oh my God. But you know, like clothing, your self-expression that way is one of the things you got as a human, yeah. you know?
So how has, I know that the like core mission of the store has actually remained in place. And that, how long did you say you've been open? Two and a half years. But how has it changed, actually? Like, what have you learned and how have you adjusted and how has menswear moved in a way that you guys have responded to from, like, where you were 2.5 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, I think probably the biggest thing for how we've adjusted is, you know, you got 3 New Yorkers who opened a store in L.A.
Yep.
You know, and my partners, Christoph de Maison and Simon Golby. You know,
Christoph, friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod.
Simon, friend of the pod.
Very much a friend of the pod. And, you know, they live and they work here. And you know, I moved to L.A. to open the shop. And we, as New York, like, one of the first lessons I learned was that people in L.A. don't wear long coats.
Yeah. And that's hard for Josh Peskowitz's buyer.
Yo.
I know you were trying to have some long coats in there.
Yo, I had some long coats in there.
Now you have a lot of long coats in your personal closet.
You got that right, Jack. I got a lot
in
of long
size.
Coats. Yeah, I was just like, 54, let's go.
I could tailor it.
Yeah, yeah, that was one of the things I learned. I think that we had to adjust some of those things, like fabric weights, things like that, to I mean, we always had sort of like a conception of the store being less seasonal than the traditional, you know, buying patterns of a store would be. But even still, you know, being in LA and being servicing the community that we live in, like you gotta pay attention to the fact that like it's hot most of the time, you know, yep. And people drive cars, so wearing a long coat is kind of annoying. And, you know, like those are the kind of things that I've learned. But also just in general, we started out quite tailored because, you know, yep. In my mind, the conception, like tailored clothing always has played a big part in like who I am. And like ever since I've really learned about it, and, you know, how I've incorporated that into my life is maybe something that people wanted to take pictures of
yep.
in the day. But, yep. you know, that is not how everybody dresses. So, you know, yep. we probably take and less.
I can see feeling like, oh, there's a huge, because I know for a fact, because I've had friends hit me up like, yo, who live in L.A., like, where the hell do I get a suit?
Yeah, yeah. People have asked
in this
that a lot.
Godforsaken tailoring free city.
Yeah.
And so you might think, oh, we're going to come in there and like, and occupy that empty lane.
Yeah.
But what you found is more just like people aren't that interested.
We do have a suit.
Of
like
course.
We have like a yeah. suit and yeah. we definitely do. We do well with, you
what
know,
is the suit?
It's by Salvatore Piccolo.
Yeah.
Who's a Neapolitan tailor. And it's a completely unconstructed three patch suit. We did it in gray, navy, and like an olive green. And
I mean,
just
it makes
it
sense to like, you know, Italian unstructured suit in Los Angeles is like,
it's great.
Too easy.
And people come and they say, I need a suit. And I'm like, here's the suit. And they say, I like that suit. I'm like, great. We'll get it tailored for you.
Yeah.
And if they say, I don't like that suit, I was just like, and you know, people come in all the time and say, like, I'm looking for X, Y, and Z. And if we don't have it, I'll tell them where to go.
Yeah.
You know?
Was that part of the reasoning for ending up in California, that you saw the greatest opportunity there?
I did see an opportunity there. And at the time in New York, I mean, it's difficult here.
Yep.
You know, it's difficult.
Man,
to
sure is.
As a you know, starting your own business, doing it without any real sponsorship, you know, just you and your partners going for it in New York City, particularly at that time. I mean, I think things are starting to change a little bit now because of all the you know, occupancy problems on
yeah
you know, in storefronts. But, you know, at that time, it was just like, okay, you want to open a store? You sign this 10-year lease, but we'll kick you out after a year if we don't like you, but
yeah.
you need to pay for the first year in advance, and,
yeah.
and on and on and on. And you know, it's difficult.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at California, you look at LA in particular, there's a lot going on there. And there's a lot of energy. And as far as the west side of the city was concerned, you know, the word on the street was that Culver City was going to be big news. And,
yeah.
and it's happening now, you know, like Amazon just opened their own movie studio next door to
yep.
us. HBO's opening their new headquarters next to us.
Have you had Jeff Bezos in to get fit for a suit yet?
Bezos has not come in for a suit yet.
Just dripping in drees. Just filthy in drees.
But Jeff, if you are listening, there
yeah.
are.
Oh, he's definitely a friend of the pod
yeah,
for
he's,
sure.
No, he's listening.
I've
yeah.
got some silk print pants for you, baby.
Come through. Come get fitted.
But yeah, so you know that, and so that was really why. I mean, we
yeah.
had an opportunity to do it there, and you know, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, you know, when you're planning, you're just like, okay, after we take over the world, like,
yeah.
where's the first one going to be? First one's going to be in New York. Well, where's the second one going to be? The second one's going to be in L.A.
Yeah.
So we opened the second one first.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's constant like WWD, business of fashion, postulating about the future of retail.
Mm-hmm.
You obviously made a very specific move by going with like niche, hard point of view,
mm-hmm.
independent store.
Mm-hmm.
Does it feel like that is a more sustainable model than like what the department stores might be going through, or how does it feel like in this era where like e-commerce and Instagram, all the boat is being rocked, but
yeah.
nobody knows which way it's going to tip?
We don't know. But for me, I think that when everyone has access to everything,
yeah.
the only way to make yourself valuable is to provide perspective
yeah.
and point of view. And so that is a much easier thing to do in 1,600 square feet than it is in 180,000 square feet. Or, you know, or having a website with, you know, 480 brands on it.
Yeah.
You know, that is a business. That's a volume business, and that is something that has its challenges now. but you are providing a specific service with that. You are providing access. You will get it to their house. You will get it on their back. You will provide, you know, you need to reorder underwears. It's coming to you immediately. Yep. Yeah. You know, like, those are all convenience and access, and those are super important services. But what I think most people will look for in that type of environment is what they don't know about. You know, where right. can they learn about something?
Where can
new?
They discover something?
Yeah, discover, or you know, look, see a fresh perspective on things that they already knew. And you know, it's easier now than ever because of all those reasons that we just discussed to be able to have a very outsized presence with a small footprint.
Yeah,
you know, because people can find out about you.
It's just like being an influencer. It's like you're just one person, but a lot of people are paying attention, and you've got to really, you're doing something really specific, and it's moving the needle.
And hopefully, you know, you
or
get
like
that loyalty.
Or like being a small magazine, like GQ style.
Yeah, like GQ style. I mean, I've used the analogy of like, you know, broadcast to cable television. You mm-hmm. know, like where there used to be four channels and that was what you watched, and everybody right. and like there was a national conversation about those things, which was healthy.
Yep.
But now, you know, with the advent of the world we live in now, like there are many, many smaller voices that cater specifically to someone's specific taste.
Yep.
In the cable news world, that's pretty terrible, but in the fashion world, it's cool because you can choose your own adventure now. That's just what it is. And so if you are interested in what we do, you'll find us.
Right.
I hope.
What were you most excited about from, you know, we were just together in Milan and Paris at the shows. Like what felt fly to you? What was exciting? What was your kind of like takeaway? These are obviously the spring 19 shows.
Spring 19 shows.
Just whatever was kind of like exciting to you.
Well, in Florence, I saw a new designer. Well, he's not that new, but I'd seen his runway show in Milan the season before, but he had a little presentation in Florence, and his name is Federico Corradi.
All right.
And I really like him.
Dime. Josh is dropping a dime right now. Perk up, people.
I don't like to play the comparing game, but like he does fall somewhere in between, you know, a Dries and a Massimo Alba.
It's a good zone to be between.
That's my zone. That is like square inside my zone. That is like
call that the Josh Peskowitz zone.
Yo, that's the zone right there. So I've had the opportunity to meet him and talk with him, and he you know sources all of his fabrics in Italy. He you know knits it all and you know cuts and sews it all in Florence. It's really beautiful.
It's the real
stuff.
Deal.
It's really beautiful stuff.
The name one more time.
Federico Corradi.
Let me ask you something that may be hard to explain, but when you're having this experience in Florence, looking at these clothes, meeting this guy, like what hat are you wearing? Like, do you do that as the proprietor of a shop that you're sort of envisioning? Like, where does like, you know, what am I going to order? Am I going to order? How's it going to fit in? Is this? Do you kind of channel your inner personal taste and just go like gut instinct, just whatever you're feeling? Like,
I mean, I wear a lot of different hats, but, you know, I do a lot of different things besides just the store. But right. I think for me, something like that is, like, in this particular case, like, that's a gut thing where I'm just like,
like, you want to wear this
stuff. I fuck with this.
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean? Does it mean we're going to carry it in the store? Does it mean that I'm going to mention it on the corporate launch pod? Like,
that's why we had you on.
I mean, but, you know, what does it mean? And you know, for me, usually the first thing is I like this. How can I help?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what can I do, whether it's buy it, whether it's help find them a sales agent, whether it's, you know,
send other buyers there.
Send other buyers there that maybe it's more appropriate for, you know, all of those things are part of it for me. And that's where it starts. And I'm just like, there are certain things that I'm just like, this belongs in the store. We're going. But then there's other things where I'm like, maybe this isn't right for us, but like this deserves shine. So let me see how I can help. And you know, that's just.
Is Corradi coming to magazine spring 19?
We didn't buy it yet, but we're
I'm pushing too hard.
Yeah, man, back off.
Okay, cool. Okay, cool. Yeah, we didn't buy, but that's my sign.
No,
it's all good.
I mean, actually, it will probably end up in the store. Yeah. But
we shall see. Of the other hats that you wear outside of magazine, what is the, you Give us some energy on one that you're excited about.
I just started working as a contributing editor. That's what we're calling it for Moda Operandi Men's.
Truth. What is Moda Operandi for people who don't know?
Moda Operandi is a high fashion website that just launched its men's component, where you are able to sort of order clothing in advance directly from the runway. So whatever designers they work with, they basically put up the entire fashion show or close to it. And you are able to order in advance, you know. So it's a very interesting concept to me, because number one, we are all hostages to what buyers buy, right?
Yeah. You're
getting around that. And also, I think it's super interesting, you know, to see what people react to in their own right, you know, like what are people interested in? Is it the same thing that I am? Is it, you know, what do they gravitate towards? So, you know, just from a strictly, you know, educational perspective, I think it's fucking dope.
Yeah.
And, you know, so yeah, I'm working with them.
It's basically a pre-order situation. You order when soon after you see it on the runway, and then it comes literally
that day. It's providing the service that we in the industry have always, not always, but have been lucky enough to enjoy in many circumstances, right, where you go into a showroom and they're like, if there's anything you want to order, go ahead. And
the
personal order. And you do it, and then, like, if you're like me, you forget that you did it.
Yeah. And then Santa Claus comes.
Yeah, with a bill. In this case, you put down a deposit, you pay for in advance, but then you do get the thing that you wanted.
And you're going to get it.
Yeah.
And you don't have to remember and go to the store and elbow
people.
Or find
the store that bought it.
Yeah.
Find the one store that bought it.
Yep.
You've been increasingly, the design muscles have been increasingly flexed. What are you up to on that front?
I've been helping a few designers out. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm a designer, but I have certainly...
You've done some things.
I've done some things. Last year, I was very lucky to work with Levi's, and Levi's Made and Crafted, the team there, allowed me to create a capsule collection of my own, which was super fun. They were great people to work with. There is another one of those in the works, but it is not happened yet, and I don't want to jinx it, so I'm not going to say it out loud.
It's not Levi's. No, something else.
Levi's,
I see.
With another brand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
is
don't
that
jinx.
Are those partnerships? Seems like many retailers, large and small, eventually move towards an in-house line of some sort.
Yeah,
is this your version of that, or something completely different, or have you? What are your thoughts on doing a full-blown in-house line?
Yeah, I think that there's validity to that.
Yeah,
I think that what you know, as we have been able to establish sort of a point of view, people come into the store and they're just like, oh. Like the second time or the third time they come in, they feel like there's consistency.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So like to sort of what we're trying to do, what the point of view is. And so, yeah, I mean, trying to do a house line that sort of organizes around those same principles that I was talking about earlier is something that we think about a lot. And, you know, the truth is that in that kind of scenario, you are able to provide a little bit of value to the customer as well.
And
you know?
Better margin for yourself.
Value to the customer.
Win-win.
That's my priority, Noah Johnson. That's my priority, is value to the customer.
I'm so crass.
You're honest. It's true.
What have you been wearing the most? What's feeling good on your own back?
I have been...
Whether it's style or brand. What's that little lightweight summer jacket you brought today?
Let's go ahead
and at the brands right now.
Yeah. That's a Kamoshida... little pajama type
friend
of the pod.
Mr. Kamoshida, good friend of the pod.
Mr. Kamoshida is a beast.
Yes, I definitely wouldn't mind being him when I grow up.
Yeah.
Did you carry some of that little?
Yeah.
In the shop.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Jack is Kamoshida. This is like an old non-native T-shirt. I'm actually wearing. I'm like this. This is when it gets weird because like I'm only wearing things that I bought in Japan.
That's not weird at all.
The jeans are from a company called Bukht, which is actually...
You're going to have to spell that.
B-H-U-K-T.
Yep.
And it is probably 40% of my wardrobe at this point.
Dang.
Yeah. It was going to be one of my vibes, but you fucked me up.
No. We can still get there. We can still get there.
Okay.
Dripping and Bukht.
I found it.
Doing the best I can over here, Noah. Don't laugh at me.
I can't believe you haven't heard of Bukht before.
Nobody has. I had never heard of it. There's this one store that I go to in Tokyo called Garden. Which my friend Satoshi Nobori, who is also probably
shout
a friend
out
of
to
the,
Sato.
Sato's
we
the man.
We gotta get Sato on here. That guy's
Sato's more than just a friend of the pod. Yeah. Sato is the pod.
He's family.
Sato is like the North Star of the pod.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So Sato took me to that store. One of
the first time Sato ever like pulled a little. It basically looks like a film canister, like the little piece of plastic that a roll of camera film comes in that was attached to his belt and ashed in it.
Yep.
I was just like,
yo,
baby Jesus, baby man. Fashion Jesus, what
like,
is up?
Yeah, his utility he's belt advanced. Is so real. Yeah. It's so real. But anyway, so he took me to the store called Garden. He was like, I think you'd like this store. And he took me there. And
they took your money?
I had never heard of a single brand in that store.
Awesome.
Like, not a single one. And subsequent trips to Japan, I always go back and I buy a lot of that particular brand, Bucht. I mean, there's other things that they have there that I've bought that are great, like a brand called August Presentation. And it was the first place I'd ever seen a Hender Scheme shoe.
Yep.
You know, so this was several years ago. But yeah, Bucht, man. And these are just some lightweight, wide, weird, selvedge denim white jeans.
What about the sneaks?
The sneaks are Concept Mephistos.
They're kind of like a burgundy pink.
We're going magenta. We're going magenta.
That's magenta.
We're going okay. Magenta with these.
Yeah, that's magenta.
These were actually a gift from Coltrane Curtis. He gave me these because we wear the same shoe size.
Shout out Coltrane.
Shout out Coltrane. So that's what I'm wearing. Oh, and Generation 1 Nom de Guerre.
I wonder how old Samhain Productions was when those glasses were made.
They're sunglasses.
They were, yeah, those are NGDs, or NDGs, rather.
Nom de Guerre?
Yeah, man.
Those glasses are from Nom de Guerre.
Yeah.
So what year are those?
I've had that. They made the style for Nom de Guerre. This was like the 2006, I think I got those.
Dude, shout out to Josh's ability to not lose or sit on sunglasses.
Yo, this one
that's
pair,
kind of incredible.
This one pair, like I thought I lost them this trip, and I had like we were getting close to a nervous
breakdown. Nom de Guerre, like top three all time shops in New York. Maybe.
All time.
Yeah, true. You agree?
I don't think I have anything from 2006, like including my personality or my soul.
None of my teeth.
Yeah, teeth. No, definitely not.
I don't have.
Those are good years.
I don't.
I wish
much.
I had my wardrobe from 2006. Yeah. I don't. Some of it, I'm very glad I don't. But there are some gems in there. I wore a lot of Umbro by Kim Jones in 2006.
Umbro, Kim Jones.
So you are still the same person that you were in 2006.
Close, but
just
there is
evolved,
some,
highly
some
evolved.
Bad. There was some bad stuff in there too.
Oh yeah, but I mean, you know, I don't wear so many things that I had from back then, but they're. You know, there's some things that I have held on to.
Yeah.
You know? And this pair of glasses right here, like, this shit is, like, my favorite.
How much do you... I was in Albany a week ago for a friend's wedding where I'm from. I hadn't been up there in a very long time. I went to a skate park, and all the kids in the skate park, the good skaters, were dressed the way I dressed in 1996.
Break that down. What were they wearing?
Like, baggy cargo pants.
Yep.
More tech sneaker, not like a slim Van sneaker, but like a bulkier, like, teched out sneaker. Just
like
oversized.
Like a skateboard tech sneaker? Like an Etnie type of situation?
No, Nikes.
Nikes.
Okay. Or like Nikes and Adidas, but they're more like, because like DCs and S aren't really around anymore as much. You know, oversized tee, like a 5-panel cap. It's a pretty standard thing, but like the silhouette is very specific.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt so good, but I was thinking like, man, I still kind of dress like that or aspire to dress like that. What do you feel like you have like a root, like a style root that you always like go back to? That's the
fuck
thing.
Fuck yeah,
that,
man.
Like,
yo, I believe that for many people,
the
like,
formative years.
How you dressed in high school will inform the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I love that. Sometimes I didn't always get that. And then I have breakthrough moments where I'm like, whoa, it's still there.
I mean,
but this is why, like, you know, it's definitely true that every era is back at once. But in some ways, like, the 90s are really driving things right now. It's just because, like, our generation grew up on that shit and we're now.
We call the shots now.
Shot calling.
We're shot calling. No, and that's, you're absolutely right. That is true. And I often say that, you know, of the types of customers that there are, the one that I am, although I'm probably, like, on the weirder spectrum of this because I like to try shit out. But, like, most people are just looking for the better version of what they already have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
You know,
that's
and so
true.
Like,
definitely.
If you're just looking for the better version of what you already have, you might end up all the way, you know, all the way over here in left field, but like, you definitely are still on a path that started when you had like an army jacket and, you know, like one polo sports sweatshirt and like cargo pants and, you know, a pair of Sauconys or whatever the fuck you were wearing, you know. So like, that's where you started.
Yeah,
you
very
know?
Close to me in 1996.
No, it just looks stunned, deer in headlights.
Just read this, dude.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah,
gentlemen, should we do some vibes?
Vibes.
Sam, hit the button.
Not so fast, lightning round.
13 Vibes, you all know this by now. This is episode 35. 13 Vibes, the not-so-fast lightning round where we talk about things that we're into right now. It's a guest Josh Peskowitz edition. I think we should let Josh.
I can't wait. Should he do all
13? Oh! Yo! We should just leave and let Sam Hine and Josh
can
take
you,
it home.
Can you leave the light on at least?
I bet Josh could do 130 Vibes right now off top.
I got a couple of vibes.
You're going to have to set it off.
All right. Do I have to wait for music?
No.
Okay.
That's all. Sam Hines got that
you
covered.
You didn't hear it already?
You did. You just don't know it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I heard it. First vibe for me is this fragrance that I bought in Milan, but it's from an Argentine company called Fugia, and it smells exactly like geraniums. It's called Muscara Pelagonium. And it literally smells exactly like geraniums. I walked up into that joint and I was just like, what do you got that smells like geraniums? They were like, this exact fragrance that smells exactly like geraniums. And I was just like, you can have all my money.
That was actually.
And how
question?
Did you smell when you walked out of that joint?
I mean, when I walked out, I was a mess because I tried like 500 different joints before I, like, I just came back around to it. But like, it was a super cool little store, and they do have one here in New York.
Yeah, there's one in Soho.
What's the store called?
Fugia is the name of the company, and I might be butchering that.
No, I love how you owned
close
it.
Close enough.
Yeah.
I thought Noah was setting you up having to pronounce it.
Like, I was not. No,
would you
no,
mind
no,
saying
no.
it again? Would you mind repeating
spell
it?
Let's spell it. No, let's do spell it. F-U-E-G-U-I-A.
Yes, F-U-E-G-U-I-A. They're from Patagonia originally, from
1883. They are not fucking around in that place.
I believe close to like 600 fragrances.
Yeah, they're serious.
So you know, you can get off the rails.
But you already knew you wanted a geranium.
I have always liked that smell, and like, you know, you go to like the little hippie health food store and you
get
geranium
oil.
Yeah, you know. So like, I've used that for a long time. I usually keep that with me, and I didn't have any. And I was like a Maria Santanovella sandalwood guy for a long time. But then I was just like.
Time to move on.
Let me switch it up. Let me get extremely botanical
geranium.
Out there.
If you smell delicious geraniums, Josh Peskowitz may be nearby.
I might be lurking.
Noah, talk to him. Noah, give him something. Give him a little taste.
I have one. I got scooped a little bit, but I wanted to do a street style vibe because street style at a time when I was getting started and was a big thing. Like Tommy Ton's photos. I worked at Style.com, and he was still shooting there for a little while, and it was really exciting when I saw a new Tommy drop.
I mean, when the fashion shows were going on, Style.com Tommy Ton drops were like...
It was major.
It was a thing.
It was a thingy thing. And New York Fashion Week just went down, and this is why I want this to be vibe right now, and I went to a show, and Tommy was outside, mm-hmm. and Phil O was outside,
mm-hmm.
and Dan Roberts was outside.
Mm-hmm.
And
friends
those
of the
three
pot
guys
all.
Are just like... I don't know that also people don't understand, like, they're the homies. Like, those guys are, like, fucking cool.
Yep.
They all have incredible style. They should all be on this show. They shoot great photos.
You should absolutely have every single one of them on the show.
Should we have all of them on at once and
just
free for
really
all this
wild.
Shit?
That would be wild.
They're all homies with each other, too, which is also cool.
Yeah. But I feel like, obviously, the industry has made a lot, you know, media, everything has shifted so much. But those dudes are still out there on the street taking dope photos, and I back it so hard. So mm-hmm.
Shout out Tommy Ton. Shout out Phil O. Shout out Dan Roberts.
Phil O on Vogue.com. Tommy shooting for himself these days. I think working on a book. And Dan Roberts on GQ.com.
The only ones that matter.
Bang.
I co-sign your vibe heavy.
Yes, that's a heavy co-sign.
I'm going to go with maybe my most basic... And this is saying something because I've done some basic ass vibes. My most basic vibe of all time, summertime, white pants and white jeans.
All right.
Guilty as charged right now. I mean,
you guys are both wearing them today.
I got my Massimo Alba mini cords on.
I'd say they're.
I got my Massimo Alba mini cords on. Josh already told you what he's wearing.
That's what's in the optic way.
But it just feels fresh. Dude. I don't know what to tell you. I know it's not reinventing the wheel here. I'm not saying anything that everybody doesn't already know. But white pants in the summertime, man.
White pants in the summertime. It's fresh. Maybe even white pants in the wintertime.
Yeah, oh, definitely year-round. But I'm just like, it's July right now.
You're in there, and you look crisp.
Thank you, dude.
Yeah, man.
I feel good.
Yeah.
Josh, what do you got?
Well, we were talking about this yesterday, but a very heavy vibe for me right now is the entire album No Danger by a band called Anouk, which I will introduce me to.
2004. In case you're wondering how far back the friend of the pod, our guest today, goes back.
Yeah, we didn't even
back.
Get into the personal history here, but it's
no,
deep.
We did not.
We
it's
did
deep.
Not.
You could leave it for another show, but.
Yeah, it's like a whole thing. I would kind of felt good about the fact that we didn't do it.
Let's just say
I just
that
ruined it by mentioning it.
No, it's cool. It's all good.
Will and I do go back away.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah. So we've known each other since 2003, but in 2004, a little band called Anouk, Inouk,
mm-hmm.
dropped an album called No Danger.
And man, that shit blew my mind then, and I had kind of forgotten about it until Amen Dune's album came out this year.
Yep.
And Amen Dunes that was his first band.
Oh, he's in the band.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was him and his brother.
That's right.
And three
I
other
guess
dudes.
I knew this.
Three or four other dudes.
So you guys are currently bumping an album from 2004.
Both of us separately.
This is the recent retro thing talked about
recent
before
vintage.
Where you have to like get into that recent vintage spot.
And it's on Spotify. It's got like 11,000 listens. Yeah. 9,000 of them are by Josh and I.
Yeah, pretty much.
But the shit is fire.
It's such a good record. And I literally had lost it in the depths of my iTunes
when Damon McMahon, who records under Amen Dunes, put out Freedom, Josh and I were going back to the Anouk.
This is making me want to just go back to all the 2004.
We might bless the outro of the pod with a little taste. What do you got, NJ?
I'm going to stay on New York Fashion Week. I did go to a show, and it was the label Abbasi Rosborough.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a vibe.
Yes.
This is.
I was traveling for this, and I'm hurt.
It was
hurt.
The Dizzeridoo scenario was very.
There was a
very. Heavy.
They brought out.
Yo, if you don't have a didgeridoo in your fashion show, don't even come to New York Fashion Week, Colin Mintz.
This shit was very psychedelic, and I haven't seen too many live didgeridoo shows, so I don't have like.
You haven't lived, Noah. What are you doing?
But this guy was making jungle sounds. He had bells tied around every ligament. Like he was. It was a one-man band. He was drumming and didgeridooing and like sort of yelping, like doing animal sounds. And
He
went for it.
He really was.
Big question: how are the clothes?
The clothes are fly. These guys are.
The clothes are good too. The clothes are good too.
These guys are extremely tactical, extremely anatomical. It is advanced, I think, sort of futuristic men's tailoring.
And the nice thing about it is also the fact that, you know, all those like silky prints on the stripes and whatnot, those are all repurposed. That's dead stock. They found that, which I think is cool. I'm into that movement.
These guys have been around for a few seasons, a few years. They're all friends, and I just feel like it's starting to crystallize into something really solid. Their vision is really the development is getting there. The clothes are really interesting. The styling was fly this time around.
Shout out to the didgeridoo, the official instrument of episode 35 of Corporate Lunch.
100%.
And little phalange bells. I got a travel vibe. This one is like, I live by this shit. Josh, you can tell me what you think because you also spend a lot of time on the road. You can't use the blackout curtains in the hotel, man. You can't do it.
It'll kill you.
You can't do it. If you got anything to do the next day, the jet lag hits, you pull the blackout curtains, and you're absolutely screwed. No blackout curtain. I don't care if you're in a 5-star hotel. I don't care if you're in the nicest place or the shittiest motel. Do not pull the blackout curtains.
Yo, I 1,000% agree with you for a completely different reason, but my reason is when I do pull the blackout curtains, I wake up in a panic like every 2 hours.
Where am I?
Where am I?
What time is it?
Exactly. And so I just can't fuck with it. I would just rather know where the sun's at.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what drugs you're doing or what kind of hookers you have in there. No one can see. Just use the regular curtains.
Yeah. Just keep the lighting dim, and then you won't.
Yeah.
No, but the yeah, the sun. I mean, Josh kind of hit it. The sun is the key to interacting with the sun is the key to getting over your jet lag, and mm-hmm. also like getting up in the morning and being at whatever thing you got to be at.
Mm-hmm.
No blackout curtains.
No blackout curtains. Certified vibe.
Josh, I think you should take us home. One more vibe.
Well, we just, it just, I just came to this vibe.
I told you vibes would be coming.
They come. I know. You always enter.
We're experienced that. We're 35 episodes deep. That's like 3,000, that's like, I don't know, damn near 4,000 vibes.
Sometimes you come in with vibe anxiety, but by the end, you're just overflowing.
Wait, 400 vibes? Yeah, we've done like 800 vibes.
There's been 5,000 vibes.
8,000.
There's been 12,000 vibes. What do you got?
Deadstock is a vibe.
It is.
Deadstock is a true vibe. But tell us how to access Deadstock. If you're just like, you know, a kind of a corporate lunch neophyte, how do you get some Deadstock fabric in your life? Or Deadstock period?
Well, first, I mean, you can look for it, first of all. But I think that there are a lot of brands out there. I mean, we work with a couple like Atelier and Repairs and obviously Errol 55. And just talking about Abassi Rossborough just now, you know, there is so much that has already been made.
Yeah.
You know, and like people getting in Bodie, you know, same idea.
Shout out Emily Bodie.
Super shout out. She had a great show yesterday. Yeah. It looked really terrific. So
fire.
But, you know, just taking things that already exist and making something new out of it, like, that's such a fucking vibe to me right now. And, you know, you can search out brands, but more and more brands are doing it. More and more brands are, you know, repurposing these things. And I think that it is very, very thoroughly respectable thing to do. So that's a vibe for me.
Josh Peskowitz, you're a true friend of the pod.
Thanks for coming on.
You showed why today.
Thank you guys for letting me come on.
Will you tell us what we're going to exit to here?
We're going to exit to Search for the Bees.
In Nook. Check it out. We'll talk to you soon. Josh, come on again sometime.
I will.
Searching for